Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. 19 years ago today, AJ and I took over the morning program at WPLR. Phil has some facts.
Yes, 19 years of Chaz and AJ. So 52 weeks in a year, assuming about 3 weeks, vacations, holidays. You guys have done an estimated 4,625 shows. At 4.5 hours per day, that's about 200 hours short of an even 21,000 on the air. Though there have been some circumstances where, you know, you'll stay on the air, coming on a weekend, hurricane, whatever, all
Sandy
kinds
Hook.
Of stuff. Let's call it 21,000. 21,000 hours over 19 years. I've got some really hard numbers here because we've been doing the Flubble montage since October of 2020. So I can pretty accurately say that we get an average of 7 Flubbles a day, meaning over 19 years.
Collectively, right?
I didn't say anyone's
Just
name.
Just checking.
I didn't say anyone's name.
He met you, though.
Don't be a Sharpay.
Meaning over 19 years, there have been 30,333 Flubbles.
Wow, that's low.
What are you trying to say?
We're doing good.
Yeah.
Connecticut has had 4 different governors in that span. Chaz and AJ have spoken with 2 sitting vice presidents. You've also spoken with 2 different future presidents, at least 11 different United States senators. I don't know how many mayors. So many mayors. Let's say 392 mayors. AJ has been to the hospital 6 times.
Thank you. 6
in
times.
Those 19
6
years.
Times.
6 in 19 years. Not bad, actually.
6 times to the hospital because of this
Not
show.
Bad.
Not bad. I mean,
not
some...
been to the hospital. Stayed overnight.
Had to go.
I only stayed overnight. I only stayed overnight twice. Once when there's the second hernia repair and diverticulitis. Well, no, three times. The diverticulitis, the first hernia surgery, and this one. And don't hit the button.
All about AJ.
You guys went there.
AJ has posted 47 different pictures of his own feet in that time, and the show has mocked him into deleting 45 of them.
I've stopped since then, except for the next one's up your ass in a moment.
Hold on 1 second. Chaz and AJ.
Hi, Chaz.
Yo.
Yes.
It's John from New Haven. I was just listening to the how long you guys were on the air.
Yes.
Congratulations to all you guys. And AJ, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I thought you were going to say... You're saying 19 years, but it feels a lot longer.
That's us.
50. Go ahead.
The average cost of a new home in 2003, $246,300. That's for the country. That's not just the state of Connecticut.
Okay.
iTunes was a brand new feature from Apple in 2003.
Wow.
We only had 2 Matrix movies. We probably could have stopped there.
Probably.
This was the number one song in the country. So with
J-Lo.
Lopez. Yep.
I must have missed it. We weren't playing it, so.
No.
With the Rock.
Yep. Wow. That was LL Cool J actually singing with her. The number one movie was How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Facebook did not exist.
Wow.
YouTube Nuts. Did not exist.
Really?
Amazon stock, $21 a share.
Jesus! What is it now?
It's like 3,600.
What?
Hold on.
Want to buy one stock?
I bought some just so when the truck arrives, I can not feel horrible.
Oh, okay, good.
Hold on. Amazon is $3,223.79.
All right, so it made some money.
It's made just a bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Can you imagine?
Damn it.
That would have been a good time to get in.
Someone
Chaz
me.
And AJ.
Chaz.
Hey.
Hey, what year did you leave Dallas, bro?
1996.
So you was on
no.
the Eagle?
94, 95.
95?
Up to 95.
95?
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you work that cat, Russ Martin?
No, but I do know Russ.
He dead.
What happened?
He had hard times, and they found him, like, dead in his house or something. It's a sad story, bro.
Just so you know, Russ Martin was a really popular on-air personality on the radio station. The Eagle then moved over to another station in Dallas. He was one of those voices when you pulled into the market. you knew this guy.
I've heard that name before.
And he was the star of whatever station he was on.
He was legend, yeah.
And, you know, great-looking guy, really young, energetic, loved the artists. Any artist that came to town, he would talk to them.
Yeah.
Wow.
That sucks.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was listening to you in Dallas Jazz, and you brought some of that Southern horse sense up here with you, bro.
Thank you.
That's not me, right?
It's actually from White Hills. thank you, brother.
Thanks. Keep on rocking.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
All righty.
Gina in Manchester.
Happy anniversary, everybody. Love
thank
you guys.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
How many times has Chaz said speak into the microphone?
That's been a recent thing, actually, the last couple of years.
Speak into the phone. Yes. Or how many times have I hung up on someone, you think, Gina?
I don't know, but...
Fish.
Oh, no!
I knew it was going
to happen. It's an honor to be hung up.
It is.
You're not seeing
it. You feel honored, right?
You're watching the Olympics at all?
Drips and drabs and catching, yeah.
If you knew that Margo wasn't on the phone, you would say no.
No, I mean, you know, I see, like, your little highlights and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's not really watching.
Drips and drabs.
Yeah, staying and drabs. Involved a little, but not really watching.
They don't need me. But go ahead.
Yeah. Chloe Kim won the gold in women's snowboard half pipe.
Here we go. Chloe Kim dropping in the last competitor here in run number one, the defending Olympic gold medalist.
Will this be the run that brings home the gold medal? Starting things off, huge method error. Way out the top of the pipe. Front side, 1080. Nails it on the second hit. Big risk up top, gets reward. Switch 900. The combos are insane. Switch backside, 540. Two incredibly difficult tricks and ending things with the 1080. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That run right there, that is guaranteed gold.
I'm not going to lie. I had probably one of the worst practices I've ever had, which does not put you in a good place mentally, especially out here. Of emotion, self-doubt, but when I was getting ready to drop into my first run, I just reminded myself that it's a brand new run, and I just have to land it now, and I'm so happy I was able to do that.
That takes a lot of mental strength.
Yeah.
If your practice run goes to hell.
Yeah.
And then you have to get up, and now the world's watching.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of distractions,
there's a
too.
Lot of expectations on her. Everybody said, well, she's going to win the gold.
Yeah, all eyes are on her.
So, good for her.
Yeah.
She pulled it together.
She didn't make it interesting either. She was like, yeah, my first run, I'm going to go out, throw out my best stuff. Nailed it. Okay, good. All right. Everyone else, do whatever you want. I'll come back for my third run if I need to. But that was it. It was over.
We have an Olympic bronze medalist and former Fox 61 news anchor on the phone right now, Margo Farrell. Hello.
Hi. Long time no chat. Yeah, seriously. Last time I talked to you guys, I was with Fox.
Yes. We really should have had an exit interview with you. I thought about that. I was like, why are you leaving? Why would you leave television?
Why?
Well, I'm still kind of partially involved. I still do freelance at the Big Ten Network. But, I mean, I just felt like the world of news wasn't fulfilling my passions anymore. I was looking for what's next and decided to try what I'm doing now, which is marketing. I'm the director of marketing for the Root Center for Advanced Recovery, which is a mental health and addiction clinic, and they serve more than 6,000 people every day. So really passionate about mental health and addiction and the crisis here in this country and in the world. So I just felt like that was more of a calling, and I still get to kind of do some media relations with that as well. So it was a nice blend.
That place does tremendous work. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't save the life of the person going through. It saves all the lives of the people around that person.
Sounds very busy.
Yeah, it's
absolutely
important. Important work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're missed on television.
You are.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Just so you know.
So you won a bronze medal in 2012 for Team France.
Yes, back in London.
Now, why France?
I did.
Why France? Why not?
Well,
Margot funny. Spelled French.
Were we not the hottest girl in the room?
Margot.
It's Margot.
It's funny. I did a whole drawn-out thing online about this yesterday with the controversy with the skier from China the other day. But what I wrote online is that my mother was a very, very talented swimmer, more so than I ever was. And when she was about 15 years old, she missed the Olympics by a hundredth of a second. And she was world class. I'm talking top 10 fastest swimmers in the world. And she represented France. My mother's the French one. My father's the American. So the first national team I ever qualified for was the French team. Once you qualify for a country, you have to compete with that country unless you want to stop and switch. And then at that point, you have to sit out of competition for 18 months. Ooh. So they do that so people don't just flip-flop around and say, oh, today I'm Irish, today I'm French, today I'm American. They do it so you're committed to that country. So once I qualified, I kept going. And I always tell people in the world of swimming, because of my mom, I really felt more French than I did American. I mean, I had a coach that coached my mom who also coached me. I qualified in a pool that my mom had swam in. I swam in pools that my mom had records in. It was just in swimming, I really feel French because of that connection with my mother and her having gone to Europeans, world championships, and only missed out on the Olympics and knowing what she could have done if she was there. It just kind of became a mission for me to want to bring that full circle.
And to sit out for 18 months. Not great.
Yeah, a lot can happen. Yeah.
That could be the whole window.
Yeah. Not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, because and usually you're on a circuit at that point. So when I qualified, I was at the European Championships in 2010, and we got a silver medal in that same relay. Let's say I wanted to go American after that. I would have had to sit out the next year, miss the World University Games or World Championships, and then try and make the Olympic team the year after. So you'd miss out in a year and a half of competition during crucial points when you need to be going to those meets, like Europeans, Worlds, things in the summer to get you ready for the Olympics.
This is how I'm going to look at it. I'm going to think of it as a U.S. medal because without the U.S., there wouldn't be France.
Right, it's true. Yeah, there you go.
So we're kind of like brothers and sisters.
Oh, we're
USA!
Going now.
USA! Okay.
Yeah. So, I like what you did there.
Yeah. That was nice. That was good. Yeah.
But tell us about the competition. Who were you against? So when you got the bronze, the U.S. got the gold?
Yep, U.S., Australia, and then France.
Okay. And how close were you to those times? Because this is what's startling, close these times are.
Well, in the relays, it's a little bit different. And if I'm being honest, it's funny because you were talking earlier asking how much people were watching the Olympics. People assume that I'm watching it all the time or I know who everybody is, and I don't. I cannot even tell you with certitude what our exact split was or, you know, anything specifically like that. It's almost like you kind of black out in that moment. What I can tell you is that we were definitely secured to get third. It was a little too far out of our reach to get gold, but it was not close for the relay, which in this relay, typically it tends to be a little bit more like that versus if you watch the 4x1, which is a big competition between France and the U.S. Those are hundreds, so they're much quicker. So the times on those tend to be much, much tighter. But on something with a 200, while it is close, it does have the capability of being a little bit wider of an event. For instance, we had the Olympic champion who was going 155 or under, and then we have girls excuse me, who are going 2 minutes. So it's very different in a relay and in that relay situation as well.
Where was the Olympics in 2012?
London.
London. London. Oh, that's fun.
That
London,
sounds
one of the
fun.
Few that didn't have problems.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, there's yeah. been so many.
Yeah, wow, you picked
yeah,
a good
no,
one.
Yeah, no, really, since Beijing onwards, I joke that really all the Olympics have had some type of issue, whether it be not being done, COVID, Rio had trash and crime. It was just like one thing after another. I was like, okay, you know, the Brits did it really well.
Yeah, once you left, it was over.
Was that your last year competing?
It wasn't, actually. I took a year and a half off. I had to have surgery. I had a torn labrum at the Olympics. And didn't know it at the time. I just knew I had a lot of pain. So I took a year and a half off. We figured out what it was. I got surgery. And then I went back to USC in 2013 to get my master's. And they have a professional team there. I'd been recruited by USC in high school, so I knew the coach. Went to talk to him one day when I got there. And he said, well, you know, you're more than welcome to come give it a shot. So I started swimming with the pro team out there. And I never got back to my level, which always bothered me. It was like, if I'm not fast, I'm not having fun. But at the same time, all of a sudden, my perspective on the sport changed. We were swimming outside later in the morning. I was swimming with people who were pros, so they were there because they wanted to, not necessarily like when you're on scholarship or you're younger on a team. Like, these are all adults who were world class. You had to be either an Olympian or have gone to the world championships to be on this team. So I was surrounded by the best of the best. And being in that environment,
like,
it kind of gave me back the love of swimming.
Wow.
What's that?
It was like Justice League.
Yes. And boy, it was like Justice League, but it gave me back the love of swimming because the coach was different. It wasn't as intense. And while I never got to be that speed again, I retired liking the sport versus in 2012, I took my cap off, and I won't use the French words for this, but you know, I basically said, I'm never doing this blank again. So I was pissed after my race, actually, at the game. So it was nice to retire on a note where when I ended, I said, I've got nothing left to prove. I'm proud of my career and I'm ready for the next chapter.
What was it like being in the Olympics? What was life like, the life that we don't see?
I call it the Disney World of sports. It was like a bubble. I had no idea what was happening in the world for the month that I was there. No idea. I didn't care to know. I just wanted to be 100% in the zone with this experience, not just for my race, but just to take it all in. And it was just, I can't describe it any more so than perfect. It was like every single thing you had to think of was taken care of. I'm talking about down from key fobs to get into whatever you needed, drink stations outside of all of the buildings. So I could walk out and just walk up to a kiosk and get a power, get a water bottle, go to a kiosk to it that had sandwiches or snacks, go to the cafeteria and they have a section with Asian food. They have a section with African food. They have McDonald's. They have everything around. Every single T is crossed. Every single I is dotted.
How many people were eating McDonald's before like a gold medal?
The bubbles in the pool.
Going for the gold.
I ate McDonald's the night before I swam.
Get out!
That's how she swam so fast.
That's why we didn't get the gold.
It is! That's why I turned bronze.
There we go.
What was your order?
Yeah, what did you have?
I want to say it was the McChicken because that's just a classic go-to. But it was kind of an homage I did because when I was younger and we would drive back from swim meets at Wesleyan, there was a Wendy's on the way home and we'd get home super late and I'd have to be back super early, so we'd always stop. So I was like, you know what? We're just going to do it for old time's sake. But in the second half of the competition, what was really funny is because those swimmers are done the first week, and luckily France let us stay in our building, which was just debauchery because we got to stay there basically for a whole extra week and do nothing. So by the end of the week, you could tell what sports were done because there was more and more people in the McDonald's at night. So everybody thinks that you party in the village. You don't. You go out and party somewhere. So we would leave, we'd go out, we'd come back, and everybody's hungry. So in the beginning, it was really just a couple of swimmers, a couple of random sports in the cafeteria at like 3 a.m. eating McDonald's. By the last couple of nights, it was like every elite athlete in the world that you could think of, sitting drunk at a table. Everyone's laughing and laughing. There's Big Macs, there's burgers, there's fries. Like, that's what the cafeteria was like the last couple nights at the village. So, yeah, everybody was.
Wow, the greatest top 1%, probably even less than 1%,
right,
of athletes in the world eating McDonald's.
So we eat like Olympians. We eat like Olympians.
That's right. We do. There's a lot of talk about the amount of sex that the athletes have there. Is that, did you witness any of that? Did you see any of that?
Everybody says that. And I have to say that that is the number one question I get whenever I am interviewed about the Olympics. Now, I always say it's really like you're going to college. When I was there, it kind of felt like when you go to welcome week or you get on campus, everyone's partying, everyone's excited. As far as some of the claims that have been made in the past, I know there was a soccer player years ago. It said that she saw people having sex out on the field underneath the Olympic rings outside. I don't know what games she was at. I don't know what people she hung out with. Personally, I never saw anything like that. I didn't experience anything like that out in the public. I mean, what people don't remember here is that in the village, those athletes are still competing. So they have security guards who are walking around outside. And when you're coming back from the bars, if you're rowdy, they'll be like, hey, keep it down. There are still athletes competing. So that's the biggest misconception is, sure, people might be doing stuff they're not supposed to or having extra fun on the side, but it's not out in the open because you still have to remember that while some people are done and they're partying, having the greatest time of their life, other people like track athletes, handball, all those things, they go the second week. You know, the French handball team, I think, won the finals on the night of closing ceremonies. So they had to wait all the way 2 weeks until the end of the games to compete. So It's very different than what people think. They think like, oh, they're done. They're partying in that village. Like, no, it's still very much a competitive atmosphere. And
different
like,
waves.
I can say personally,
yeah, right.
Yeah. If somebody was screaming outside my door, I'd be pissed if I was working out the next day, you know?
Yeah. Margot Farrell, Olympic bronze medalist and former Fox 61 news anchor on the phone now. What is this audio that we have, Phil?
Well, she posted this.
Gosh.
She had some, I don't know how to describe what's happening, but I guess she's sitting in her apartment.
By the way, if you don't follow her on Instagram, you should.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I do, yeah.
It's a treat. Excellent content.
Yeah.
Yeah. So her boyfriend, I guess, is upstairs doing something, maybe
is
working
from home.
Is it your
husband or your boyfriend?
This is my boyfriend, and he's mortified because I told him yesterday that he was going to be on here. He goes, what do you mean I'm going to be on here? I came home yesterday. He works from home. He has his office upstairs. And he was like humming to himself. And I wanted to just get a video of the humming because I was just going to make fun of him.
Right.
But what happened next
was beyond anything
that I could have imagined. He was humming. Let me just say that as a preface. He thought I was downstairs, not filming or anything, just humming. And this is what I got instead.
Cold toilet? That's me downstairs.
So great. Just out of nowhere. Yeah, I love it.
If you see the video, I like my face, I just look so shocked. I look good. And then I slowly creep up the stairs and I can see from around the corner. He has no idea. He's just on the computer singing it. And then he turns around and he sees me with the camera. Oh, it's absolute gold. I was like, that's the day that you wish I didn't come home early from work.
Margo, great to hear your voice. Thanks for coming on. Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation Concert God, on the show. Good morning, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent.
I'm doing fine. Good. It's going to be a little warmer today. This is nice.
A little bit.
Mm. Well, what's going on over there? Anything interesting? Any news?
Well, we're putting the festival together. That's one thing. I'm trying to finish up the bringing REO back to Bridgeport. We're discussing what time to start the show, so that's a good sign, because it's now a three-act show with REO, Styx, and Loverboy opening up.
That's awesome.
Loverboy.
That's awesome.
Yes, so Loverboy obviously should get a full set, not an opening act set, which is, you know, usually 25 or 30 minutes.
Bill, can you look up Loverboy?
Yeah.
Well, you're sitting next to the Loverboy. I don't know if Jennifer would agree with that, but
no, probably not.
Up until getting married, he probably wasn't.
Right.
This guy, first of all, Mike Reno has one of the greatest voices in rock.
Yeah.
Underrated singer.
True.
But run through their songs.
Oh, their songs.
Yeah.
Let's see. Loverboy songs.
Turn Me Loose.
Right.
Yep.
Working for the Weekend.
Kid is Hot Tonight.
Kid is Hot Tonight.
Yep. When It's Over. Heaven in Your Eyes from the Top Gun album.
Huh.
Love It Every Minute of It. Hot Girls in Love.
Oh, my God.
Well, Chaz obviously mentioned only the songs that became real popular.
This Could Be the Night. Take Me to the Top. Queen of the Broken Hearts.
He can't do Almost Paradise
like
because there's no Ann Wilson.
Let me see.
I could dress up like her if you want to try and do it with him.
That would be great.
Jimmy, can you let Mike know? We've volunteered AJ
right.
to do the Ann Wilson part.
No Kiss, though.
Almost Paradise.
Jimmy's like, hello?
That is, we lost connection with Jimmy.
Well, I'm here. I fainted for a moment.
I don't blame you.
First, like a deer in headlights.
I never knew AJ was such a giant Loverboy fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't look like a giant Loverboy fan.
Thank you, appreciate that.
You know, not that we knew about that. I think we heard some. Did you tell us? You told us. I don't remember. I think you told us off the air.
What's that?
Loverboy.
That they were going to be on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was something that was being put together to try to get this show. I mean, listen, it did great last year. It sold out the amphitheater last year without Loverboy.
That was awesome.
So the idea of putting a full tour together this year came from Bridgeport last year, actually, because both managers were there of Styx and REO, and they saw how great we did. We sold the place out, and they put their heads together and said, okay, we're going to play bigger amphitheaters, and they're playing 20,000-seat amphitheaters everywhere else.
Wow.
But they love the Bridgeport amphitheater so much, they decided to still come back to Bridgeport, but they wanted to put a really strong third act on so they could sell enough tickets to play the big amphitheaters, which in this case would normally be Xfinity. In Connecticut. So,
wow.
But because they loved that they opened up the amphitheater, they loved they were there, they saw how beautiful the amphitheater was, they specifically said, we want to come back to Bridgeport, even though it's the big show this time with Loverboy opening up.
So, they were really great backstage, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah.
They were really personable, and it was still a little bit of COVID.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's like,
Oh, it was funny. I don't know if I ever told this story to you, but you're right, that we had the meet and greet backstage with the mayor and you guys were there, and it was a lot of fun. And then about 3 days later, Kevin Cronin comes down with COVID.
And I didn't hear this.
Oh, you didn't hear this? So he comes down with COVID. He has to cancel a couple of dates. and I'm sitting on the beach in West Hampton, in Southampton, and my phone rings, and it's the manager of REO, and he goes, one of you guys gave Kevin COVID. I said, well, that's not nice to say.
And hi, who's this?
And where's, where's your scientific proof, by the way? Yeah.
Well, I went to college with him. I went, not with Kevin, but with the manager.
Oh, so he could talk to you.
I've known him for 50 years. I've known him for 50 years.
Old buds, yeah.
Okay.
So I said, well, that's not nice. Well, why would you say that? He goes, well, Kevin's got it, and we're upset because we have to cancel 3 dates now. I said, well, let me just say something. Everybody that was in that line, it was you guys, and it was the mayor, and it was us. When the mayor gave the key to the city to REO and Styx, nobody that I know has come down with COVID. And where were you before you came to Bridgeport? And his answer was, well, we came from Alabama.
And there you go.
I said, okay. How many masks did you see over there in Alabama?
I said, I know the school we went to together in college is known for great football players, not for great minds. And you're proving it right now.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a Buckeye, so I could say that. So I said, you know, my guess is you probably got it from somebody in Alabama, would be my guess.
And we never had, no one else in that backstage group had it.
No.
Shortly after that.
No.
Nobody within a month or two got it from that backstage. And, you know, it's a finger pointing. So the manager finger pointed right at me and said, oh, you guys gave it to Kevin.
But you gave him a different finger back.
I wouldn't have gotten REO this year if I gave him a different finger back.
You know, it's funny, too. That was still when we were at a stage where when you took your mask off for a pitcher, you kind of took a breath in before you walked over. You went,
yeah.
Hold your breath and smile. Take a pitcher and everyone dispersed.
Hurry up. Okay.
That's why everybody looks blue because they ran out of breath.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so right on that. You're right. We all took our masks off and we took the picture fast and we didn't face each other. Remember, we looked forward. Everybody looked forward. So we all looked forward. And listen, you and I got in trouble. I think AJ was in the picture too for taking a picture on stage.
Yeah.
The three of us standing together and we just took our masks off. And there's nobody that's, I always say, better mask than AJ. AJ was the best at it.
Yeah.
He was religious about wearing his
mask. He wore it in the shower.
I tried to eat a sandwich through it.
How'd that work?
Food stains all.
That's
like
mustard?
A bad coffee filter.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, I felt, you know, I would cheat a little. And I don't know, Chaz, if you would cheat, but I know AJ never would take that mask off. Every time we got together, AJ had that mask on.
Always.
Yep.
So I was insulted for AJ.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I have to tell you, Jimmy, I'm so ready for music. I'm so ready for winter to be over, to deal with the, you know, we're coming out of this COVID thing. It's still a pain in the ass. And
well, I went to my first indoor show since COVID started,
actually. Wow.
Billy Joel, right?
Billy Joel. I went to my first indoor show, and it was in Florida, so of course nobody's wearing a mask.
Oh, my God, Florida, yeah.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm sitting in Billy's box, and I sit there. They have assigned seats, and I'm sitting in my assigned seat with my girlfriend, and this guy sits next to me and starts talking to me, and we're talking, and I didn't have my mask on. I felt I was safe. I was inside. I'm fully boosted and everything. And he turns and says, so what do you think about this COVID thing? And I had never met the guy before.
Right.
I go, well, it scares the hell out of me, to tell you the truth. And it's really affected my business and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, I don't believe in it at all. So I looked at him and I said, are you vaccinated? He goes, I wouldn't get vaccinated.
Ah!
I go, oh, my God, what a great way to ruin my night.
Florida.
In Florida. So I wore my KN95 the whole show.
Right.
Because I sat next to an unvaccinated guy. He says, I've only gotten it once.
Only gotten it once.
No big deal. It's
I'm
fine.
Like, feel my fart every 5 seconds. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, so I've had this any time. It's fine.
Right. It's okay.
So I felt a little uncomfortable at that show.
It takes a little of the joy off the con. It's like getting to your seat at a show and then someone takes the armrest.
Yeah.
A stranger takes your armrest.
Yes.
And then you're having that armrest kind of, oh, no, these 3 inches are mine. Not that you would experience that. But,
no.
Well, we got a little bit out of Jimmy about this REO show that they're talking about. What time will it start? So that's a really good sign.
Yes.
So it's REO Styx and Loverboy will open. Nice. When will we know more about it, like dates and ticket sale prices and all that?
Tomorrow.
Ooh, really?
That quick?
Yes,
tomorrow. Nice.
The date will be Friday, September 16th, but we'll announce everything tomorrow.
Oh. Friday.
Wow.
September?
September.
September 16th. Mm-hmm. Okay. That'll be
that
announced tomorrow,
you guys
by
can't
the way.
Make it? Is that a problem?
Nope,
I'll change the date.
No,
all.
No.
Oh, okay.
Friday's a great night.
I like
for
Fridays.
A concert.
Friday's work, yes.
Okay, just double checking. I should have called you first.
So what time do you think the show will start? That's what you're going back
yeah,
and forth.
Well, it's a 4-hour and 15-minute show. So
wow.
It's so long because everybody gets full sets because they're three real stars on
yeah.
the show. So I initially like starting Friday shows at 8 o'clock because the traffic lessens on 95 at 8 o'clock. Their show starting everywhere else at 6:45 because they want the show to end by 11 because they think that's the right time to end shows, which it is generally the right time to end shows. So we're going, it's either going to start at 7 or 7:30. We'll finish it up today, but it will start either at 7 or 7:30.
That's interesting. Oh. So you're going back and forth with them. They want it a certain time.
They're going to the artists themselves because the artists are usually off the stage at 11, and they want to go to both Styx and REO and say, because I don't know who's going to close yet. Are you okay if you're on stage till 11:30? Are you on stage okay to be on stage till 12? And the
right.
problem is whoever closes the show, if you end too late, people leave.
Yeah.
Especially on a Friday because people are working. It's a long day. They get tired.
Beat the traffic.
Yeah, start filing
the
out.
Traffic. It's, you know, it's not 20-year-olds going to the show.
No.
To put it politely. So, you know, we recognize the fact that we can't end too late. So it's either going to start at 7 or 7:30. So we'll figure it out. Yeah. I offered either one.
Boy, do we know what a ticket price will be?
We are finishing that up. It will be very similar to last year's.
Cool.
What was last year's?
I believe it was a $99 top.
Damn. That's really great. It's a night of hits.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's going to be a great show. Great show.
All right, so that, everything you just heard will be announced tomorrow officially.
Right.
Unless you listen to the podcast after the show.
That's right.
Right.
This
all
will be up as a podcast, by the way. The other tease was regarding the festival. And this will it be called SOS Fest?
We call it SOS internally, but it's Sound on Sound. Our friends and partners from GovBall founders came up with the name. They're Connecticut boys. They grew up in Connecticut. And they were Vibes fans. They went to the Vibes a lot. So they came up with the name Sound on Sound. I liked it a lot, so I certainly agreed to it. And I give a lot of credit. Most of the credit goes to them. They really do. We'll talk about it next week when we do everything, but they really put together a great festival. I was involved a little in putting the package together, and particularly with Stevie Nicks, but other than that, they really put together what I think is a spectacular package.
This will be so. This announcement's coming Tuesday. You guys might be coming in to do this, I heard.
I don't know. I hear the rumor I might be coming in there.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I'll have to speak to Kristen and get me a car ride. No, just
should do whatever you need.
Yes.
No, that's all right. I'll happy. I love driving, so I don't mind.
We wouldn't send you a car nicer than your car.
Seriously.
Should send you a driver.
Right.
Yeah, that's
I'll drive it.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. You'll drive it. I'll get a ticket.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
You know us.
You really do.
Yep.
So that's exciting. So tomorrow, the REO, all the details of that REO Styx Loverboy show at the Amphitheater, September 16th, will be announced Tuesday on the show, maybe at around 8:30. Jimmy will be here with maybe Howard, with maybe the...
Jordan.
Jordan.
Jordan Wolowitz is the... There are two partners at Founders that put on GovBall. One, Tom Russell's more the business guy. Jordan's the creative music guy. And I loved watching him put this festival together. I'll talk more about it next week when we're all together. But he likes about the flow of the music. He's very into, you know, rock and then soften it and then rock it. He really is creative. And that's what I did with Watkins Glen when I put the Dead on first. Then I lowered the pace a little with putting the band on. And then we really just generated power putting the Allman Brothers on last. And I always think of that when I put shows together, the pace of the show musically. And he just came up with that himself doing it. He wanted this artist on, then he wanted to bring it down a little, then bring it up a little. And I really admired it. I really admired what he did. Yeah.
Cool.
You know, people think, oh, the music's going to be at Seaside Park. It's going to be a music festival. So it'll be the Vibes with a different name. Oh, no.
Nope.
No, no,
yeah,
no.
With a different, different age group. We're really aiming more towards the 35 and up age group. Vibes was a little younger. We're growing a little older than that.
And all due respect to the people who, because I know the guy who did the Vibes, great guy. He wasn't a concert promoter, but he had a passion for music, who put together one hell of a party for many years. This is a whole nother level of concert people. It's going to be well run.
Oh, it's going to be amazing looking. There are going to be many different types of tickets. There are going to be general admission and then what we call general admission plus, which is giving everybody more room and better bathrooms. And then there's platinum, and then there's top tier and different price points and different amenities you get with it. It really is amazing to watch what I call the 21st century festival being put together. It's much more than putting just a bunch of people in a field.
We recently announced, or no, it'll be announced tomorrow, but Jimmy talked about announcing it.
Yes.
REO Speedwagon, Styx, and Loverboy coming to the amphitheater September 16th.
The pre-announce, yes.
All the details will be announced tomorrow, Tuesday on this show. Jimmy might be announcing some stuff regarding the SOS Festival.
Yes. Yes. Be there on Tuesday.
Cool.
We'll announce the whole lineup for both days.
People, the tribe are asking questions about this. When will tickets be on sale?
Tickets will go on sale, pre-sale on Tuesday to certain people, Thursday to more people, and then Friday to the public.
Interesting.
Gotcha.
And then who are those certain people?
Well,
is that us?
The Tuesday people are City Card people.
Okay.
And then Thursday are your listeners.
Great.
Cool.
Ooh,
okay. Thank you.
And we'll hear all the details on that Tuesday.
Right.
Yes. Other acts besides headliners?
Well, we've announced already Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds and Stevie Nicks.
Cool.
Then the Lumineers decided to announce themselves to
awesome.
Be on the show.
So oh, they're like...
We were holding it up, and then they announced it.
Okay. So, when are they?
Well, they put either day on. We're still putting the package together of what days each artist is going to play. But we're initially putting on only two-day tickets. So I can't promise that even one-day tickets will ever go on sale. And that is how well it sells.
We're going to take Eddie in Middlefield. He's been waiting to ask you this question for a while. Eddie.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey there.
Are you there?
Yes,
I'm
he is.
Here.
I bought tickets for Sammy Hagar in advance at about noon. You guys put them out at 10 o'clock, I believe. When I entered Live Nation, not really paying attention to the web address, the first one that popped up, I clicked on it, and it ended up being a secondhand ticket sale company. About a third of the tickets were already listed on the secondhand company, and the prices were up in the $200 range. Is there any way, your thoughts on how to alleviate this issue of, like, it's hard to go to shows when if you
all right,
get
so I'm going to, no, we get it. You did that perfectly. I'm going to let you go. Listen to your radio. Jimmy has the answer. And this is a good answer. Pay attention to the answer. All right, Eddie?
Okay.
Thank
one
you.
Last thing. Right. Years ago, Maiden did something with you had to get a password to be able to buy your tickets. So and you couldn't buy strips of them at a clip.
I'm going to listen.
Hey, it's us.
Yeah. Goodbye, Eddie.
He sounds just like you, Chaz. It was awesome.
Great impersonation.
I was going to push him off the air twice, and I only had to do it once.
Nice.
Thank you, Eddie.
Every pre-sale has its own code to it, and we're putting together your code right now. We've asked, actually, you guys, not you personally, but what code do you want for your pre-sale for the festival? Everybody will have, every station, your station, City Card, Friends of Jimmy, will all have a separate pre-sale code. But as far as what he's talking about, when I buy, and I do buy tickets to shows on Ticketmaster, I go on to Ticketmaster. I'm looking at the Sammy Hagar site right now. And the way to do it is on the upper right corner, there's the word filters. Press filters. And then there's clear all, because they have standard tickets, official platinum, city card, preferred seat, aisles. They have every type of thing. So you press filters, you clear everything, and then you press standard ticket. And then you apply the filter. And then you see the prices start at $69.50 for Sammy Hagar, not $300.
Cool.
The best seats are in the $129 right now. Okay. So, but if you go to Platinum and check that out, you'll see tickets for $455. That's row A. But if you want to go just with regular standards, just press standard ticket and you'll get the regular prices.
So you go to filters, clear.
Filters, clear all, and then check the box that says standard tickets and press where it says apply filters, and bingo.
Standard tickets, apply filters.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's it.
Seems
and you
easy.
See 129 row G, 129.50.
Nice.
Right now.
Well, there's the way to do it.
Yep. It's tricky, so I'm glad that Eddie brought it up.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you.
All right, a couple of other questions for you, Jimmy. Blackberry smoke at the amphitheater, ?
What was that?
Blackberry smoke coming to the amphitheater?
Not this. I have no idea that they're even touring this summer. I have not been offered them.
Okay.
John Mayer in Connecticut.
No plans except if the Dead play Connecticut.
Chris Stapleton.
Probably not happening in Connecticut. I believe it's going to play Boston, not Connecticut.
Queen in Connecticut?
Not touring.
Okay.
Bob Dylan.
We might be bringing Bob Dylan into New Haven. We're actually talking about maybe bringing him to the Schubert in New Haven.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
But that's in the discussion stage right now.
Bon Jovi in Connecticut.
He's only announced that one leg, and it's down in the south and the southeast and hasn't announced anything else, but I'm sure by the end of the year we'll see Bon Jovi at Mohegan Sun.
Oh, really?
Loves the place.
Interesting, Bob Dylan. What do you have in there, Phil?
Ed in West Haven heard Pearl Jam might be playing Madison Square Garden in March. Is that true? Will they be touring in 2022? And if so, will they come to Connecticut?
I think they're not touring in 2022. At least I've not been made aware of it. I know Eddie just played the Beacon Theater this past week. I had heard Pearl Jam's touring and playing the Garden in March. I see it on my count sheet, but I don't believe it's true because my daughter had tickets to the Pearl Jam show that was pre-pandemic and has not been told of a new date yet.
Yikes.
Here's that.
All right, all of what we just did with Jimmy will be up as the pod pick today. Lots of information, and then hopefully, Jimmy, we will talk to you, see you in studio Tuesday morning at 8:30, bright and early.
That'll be great.
Awesome.
Thank you, brother.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.